Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center here in El Cajon. Today, my very special guest is Art Neal, who is the Executive Director at New Media Rights in San Diego. Art, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Miriam. It's great to be here.
Now, Art is going to be sharing some very big news about net neutrality with us in just a moment. But first, Art, can you tell us a little bit about the New Media Rights and what that's all about?
Absolutely. So New Media Rights is a independently funded program of California Western School of Law. And we're a nonprofit program that has, for the last about 6 years or so, provided free and low-cost legal assistance to folks, artists, to entrepreneurs, to startups, and a variety of independent journalists as well. And so actually this past summer, we just passed our 1,000th case. And, our main service is that we provide that free and low-cost legal services, especially for folks who are creating and sharing information online. And so specialized legal services that relate to the internet. In addition to the legal services, we also have many, many guides on our website. We have 150 plus video guides and many, many written guides for folks to learn all about the issues that we work with. So, you know, when we're working with those artists and those startups, a lot of times we're doing contracts. We're helping them with specialized copyright and intellectual property issues. And so our guides on our website are all about those issues.
Yes, and full disclosure, East County Magazine's show actually utilized some of those legal services when we first got started to drop some of our contracts with our show, so we certainly appreciated those efforts.
Absolutely, and the last piece that we do, and part of the reason I'm here today, is we do policy work. And policy work, typically we do policy work at the Federal Communications Commission, as well as the Copyright Office. And the whole idea there is that independent creators, consumers, and internet users, as well as small tech startups, don't typically have a voice in Washington or really at any regulatory proceeding. It's usually the big companies, the big boys that do. And so we're there trying to bring the perspective of folks who typically aren't at the table.
Yeah, I understand that you were actually on the FCC Consumer Advisory Committee, that's the Federal Communications Commission, co-chairing the Broadband Working Group. So one of the big issues that you've been working on is net neutrality. For those that aren't familiar with it, it's all about, you know, keeping access fair and equal on the internet. But can you define that a little bit more specifically for folks that don't know what it's all about?
Right. So net neutrality is, and really this is the fundamental way that the internet has worked for the last 20 plus years is on three pillars. And net neutrality is typically means that number one, carriers, internet providers can't block your access to specific websites or web services. Number two, they can't slow down or discriminate against certain services in some way. And then number three, they have to remain transparent about the way they're providing internet service, about all the aspects of how they provide the internet service. So there's three pillars, and honestly, where the games get played is in the devil's in the details, right? And so when you actually define each of those, that's where people really differ in terms of how they define each of those. But those are really the main three pillars.
Sure. So why should the average consumer care? How would this affect the average internet user or the average person that has a business or even a media outlet perhaps that's on the internet?
Well, that's a really good question, because a lot of folks, I really think that what would happen in the absence of real net neutrality, a real net neutrality move by the FCC, and that really means what we're going to get into, which is called reclassification. Without that, what it means is that consumers would find that slowly but surely, what they're used to with the internet would be chipped away, and the internet would gradually change. I don't think that just by not putting in real net neutrality that tomorrow the internet's going to fall apart and not look like it does today. But what's going to happen is there's going to be a gradual slide. Mm-hmm. And you're actually already seeing that. I mean, you saw a dispute, and that's the interesting thing, is that a lot of opponents of real net neutrality are saying, well, that's preposterous. How could this ever happen? How would this ever happen? And actually, you don't even have to look towards the future. You can actually look at what's happened already. And so Comcast and Netflix, for instance, got into it late last fall through early this year, and Netflix was complaining of problem after problem accessing their customers through Comcast. Well, eventually, what did Netflix do? Well, Netflix had the resources to just pay for better access to Comcast customers. But that's the problem. What about the next Netflix? What about the next service that comes along wanting to compete, who is a startup and wants to compete on the merit? Or if you're an independent journalist outfit like East County Magazine, you want to compete on the merit of your ideas and the merit of your coverage.
There you go. So if we're trying to get news out about, say, a wildfire that nobody else is covering, and, you know, some big competitor has mega bucks and theirs comes up first on the searches, or they can get faster downloads than we can, that seems like it's unfair to folks that might be in these poor rural areas, but who really need information now in a case like that.
And that's exactly right. And that's eventually where things could head. You know, you could have every time you're about to access this site that you really like, but doesn't pay up to your cable provider, they say, oh, well, talk to two of, but maybe you should go check out two of our sponsors' websites. Maybe you should check out, Fox News or CNN before you go check out East County Magazine. Or exactly what you said. Maybe there's a search engine that it's, that only the internet service provider, provides. And then all the results are sort of sponsored results, and you have to pay for a higher tier to access all the information.
Yeah. Another interesting phenomena about this net neutrality. I've heard that the FCC has heard more on this issue from consumers than any other issue out there. Is that correct?
Nearly 4 million comments. Nearly 4 million comments, which is great because it shows that people do actually care. I mean, especially in the wake of recent election where there were so few voters.
Yeah.
It's nice to see on some issues that folks will let their voice be heard. So about 4 million people commented to the FCC. And my understanding is the primary sentiment there was for the FCC to provide real net neutrality, which for most people at this point means, you know, real net neutrality means reclassification under Title II.
Yeah, so more people cared about net neutrality than the Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction, I understand, which
that's,
I think, was
right,
the second most widely commented.
Net neutrality has finally edged out the wardrobe malfunction, yes.
There you go. Another issue I understand is the potential for censorship, and I think it's interesting that when you look at who supports net neutrality, we see activist groups on both the far left, the far right, and everything in between, because they're all worried that, you know, some big provider could turn around and say, well, we don't want to have gun rights groups, or we don't want to have pro-abortion or pro-life voices or something like that on here. Is that a legitimate concern?
You know, this issue, that is one of the nice things about this issue. It doesn't have to be a left-right issue, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, for some folks, it's about freedom of information. It's about the ability to communicate in an open way, and for ideas to be able to compete. For other folks, maybe their reason is more of an economic one. And, you know, for some folks who might look at that economic side, this should be a competition issue. You know, if we had 10 internet service providers, you know, we all could have very competitive world-class broadband, you know, which world-class at this point, when you're looking at the Netherlands and Scandinavia and Korea and Japan, is a gigabit. Wow. And I don't know how many listeners have a gigabit, but my understanding is that it's very, very few people in San Diego County. And so if there were more providers, perhaps there would be world-class service, perhaps the prices would be lower. But most of us in this county, and most of us throughout the country, we really have one or two providers at the most. And so there's either a monopoly or a duopoly situation. And, you know, what do we do with energy in that situation? Well, it's not like going to the supermarket and choosing from 10 different companies that make a certain type of product, type of pickles, let's see. You know, instead, in this situation, you've got one, maybe two, if you're lucky. And that means that you can't go anywhere else. And that was one of the absurd arguments in this whole process, is that a lot of broadband providers, wireline broadband providers, made this argument that folks will just go elsewhere if they actually changed the internet or started doing things that were against net neutrality, that consumers could just vote with their feet. And that's not true in this industry. And so for a lot of folks, I think that competition and the ability of consumers to choose and to access different types of services and businesses should be, you know, just as strong a motivation as anything else.
Absolutely. Now, the FCC, they have the dilemma of having to choose between regulating this under Title I or Title II, and I understand the courts have weighed in on that. So can you explain to us what the difference is between Title I and Title II regulation, what the courts have said, and what the options are now?
Right. About 10 years ago, when Kevin Martin was the head of the FCC, that's when the FCC actually first classified the internet as Title I, a little more than 10 years ago. It hasn't been that long.
And what does that really mean?
And what it means to say something is Title I is, the easy way to put it is that basically the FCC really doesn't have a lot of enforcement authority. So, and that's actually what the courts confirmed this year in a case called Verizon versus FCC. The FCC was actually sued by Verizon and lost. And basically Verizon was saying, look, as long as internet is classified as Title I, then the FCC, their powers to do anything, to actually enforce any of the original 2010 open internet rules, mm-hmm. are almost nothing.
So there's a movement now to try to get the FCC to classify it as Title II. Why didn't they just do that to begin with? And what do you think the likelihood is that that will actually happen? What powers would they have if they reclassify it as Title II?
Sure. Well, the dream back in 2003 that I think Chairman Martin talked about was, well, in a couple years, maybe not only your cable provider, but your telephone provider will also be a real competitor, and we'll also have broadband over power lines, and we'll have all these other means of competition that will help the market move forward. Mm-hmm. Well, that hasn't happened. And so what it means is to maintain the internet as is, when you only have one or two monopoly or duopoly providers, you actually have to step in and classify the internet as Title II. And what that means then is if a company actually blocks web services, or if a company is discriminating or slowing certain web services, or if they're being not transparent about the way they provide service, then the FCC can actually call them on it, mm-hmm. and actually enforce the rules against them. Otherwise, without that, the Verizon versus FCC decision means this. What would happen without Title II is immediately when the FCC actually has a problem with what a company is doing and they go after them, what will happen is the same lawsuit that happened in Verizon versus FCC will happen again. Mm-hmm. And instead of talking about what's appropriate with net neutrality in terms of, well, what kind of arrangements are appropriate for a network management in terms of slowing and speeding mm-hmm. up is appropriate versus, or when's it, when is blocking, you know, not going to be allowed. Instead of talking the specifics, right. We'd just be talking about whether the FCC could even regulate to begin with, and that would just be a waste of time. It would be probably 5 or 10 more years in the courts when we really need – we need this new regulatory regime also because, to be completely honest, outside of some of our big urban areas, I mean, we are falling behind – the leaders in terms of Korea and Japan and Scandinavia and the Netherlands.
Yeah, there's people out here in rural East County that are still only able to get dial-up.
Right, exactly. And that – this actually, believe it or not, you know, this plays into that because it really – you know, it's really important on two fronts. There should be net neutrality, but then the FCC actually also needs to do things separately in terms of encouraging competition mm-hmm. and being out there – trying to make sure that competition is improved as well.
So back to net neutrality. As we've mentioned, consumers have been deluging the FCC for the last couple of years or more, asking them to take some real steps to protect net neutrality. And it really hasn't happened. But now President Obama this week has come out in support of net neutrality, and I understand has called on the FCC to re-regulate this, not as Title I, but as Title II.
And that's really why we're here talking. You know, that is another champion that's kind of stepping up and saying this is something that's needed. The FCC is an independent regulatory agency, so they do have the ability to make that decision for themselves. The president can't necessarily dictate that decision to them, but, you know, it's nice to see the highest ranking government official is stepping up and saying that real net neutrality is important.
Right. And we're going to play for you listeners a little clip of what the president had to say on this issue now.
Ever since the internet was created, It's been organized around basic principles of openness, fairness, and freedom. There are no gatekeepers deciding which sites you get to access. There are no toll roads on the information superhighway. This set of principles, the idea of net neutrality, has unleashed the power of the Internet and given innovators the chance to thrive. Abandoning these principles would threaten to end the Internet as we know it. That's why I'm laying out a plan to keep the Internet free and open. And that's why I'm urging the Federal Communications Commission to do everything they can to protect net neutrality for everyone. They should make it clear that whether you use a computer, phone, or tablet, Internet providers have a legal obligation not to block or limit your access to a website. Cable companies can't decide which online stores you can shop at or which streaming services you can use. And they can't let any company pay for priority over its competitors. To put these protections in place, I'm asking the FCC to reclassify Internet service under Title II of a law known as the Telecommunications Act. In plain English, I'm asking them to recognize that for most Americans, the Internet has become an essential part of everyday communication and everyday life. The FCC is an independent agency, and ultimately this decision is theirs alone. But the public has already commented nearly 4 million times, asking the FCC to make sure that consumers, not the cable company, gets to decide which sites they use. Americans are making their voices heard and standing up for the principles that make the Internet a powerful force for change. As long as I'm president, that's what I'll be fighting for too.
So, Art, you sit on the Consumer Advisory Commission for the FCC. What do you think the likelihood is that the commissioners are going to do what the president asks and what millions of Americans across the nation have asked the FCC to do here?
So I do sit on the Consumer Advisory Committee, and I should just say, though, any comments I make are in my capacity as New Media Rights as opposed to necessarily on that committee.
Sure.
But on that committee, we do have the commissioners as well as the different department heads come and report on the things going on at the FCC. And, you know, my hope would be that I do think it's probably going to come down to the chairman in the end. You know, there's three Democrats and two Republicans on that committee on the commission in terms of commissioners. It's not clear where each of the commissioners lie. As I said, there's room, I think, on both sides of the aisle to come over and to support Title II. But, I think that Commissioner Rosenworcel Jessica Rosenworcel seems to support net neutrality and hopefully supports the Title II mm-hmm. reclassification. And I'd hope, that other commissioners could support it as well. You know, I think it's probably going to come down to Chairman Tom Wheeler in terms of what he decides to do.
If this does not happen, do you think that ultimately the Internet is going to become a lot more expensive for people and that it's going to be a pay-to-play kind of thing where if you don't want to be stuck in the slow lane, you're going to have to pay a lot more money for the service than you do now?
Yes, I think the Internet will be gradually cablized is what will happen. That would be my best guess, but it doesn't have to happen like that. It doesn't have to happen at all. The idea of sacrificing the basic things that are really good about the Internet just for the idea that cable companies or telecom companies that are already they're very healthy and making quite good profits,
right,
the idea that they could just eke out a little bit more from the system and the fact that there's monopoly providers, it really doesn't make sense to go that route.
So what can consumers do, listeners do, if they're listening in right now and they want to take some action to try to encourage the FCC to reclassify this? What can they do?
Well, that comment period we talked about is over, but, you know, there's no reason that listeners can't contact a number of folks, FCC commissioners.
FCC.gov, folks. You can go right there and get the phone numbers and the
right.
emails for everybody.
Perhaps email or phone those folks and tell them that you care about Title II reclassification. That's what you'd be saying. You want to reclassify the Internet as Title II. And then the other thing is
protect net neutrality.
Yes, and to contact, you know, even your congressman, you know, because
or congresswoman in some
or
cases
congresswoman
here.
Of course. and so contact your congressman or congresswoman and ask them to do something about it and to exercise, you know, their influence as well and to let their voice be heard as well.
Very good. Art, if people want to get more information about the New Media Rights, where can they go?
So you can come to newmediarights.org, and that's where all our guides and where you can submit to ask for legal services. Everything's right there at newmediarights, all one word, .org.
Very good. Is there anything else that you would like our listeners on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, to know that we have not already spoken about today?
Well, you know, if there's one thing you take away from today, do know that New Media Rights is here in the community, that we are your local San Diego digital rights organization. And, you know, we're here for you, and we're always looking to collaborate and partner with folks. So, you know, just for those of you who haven't heard of us, come and check us out. And, you know, we'd love to get to know you.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Art, for joining us today from the New Media Rights on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
Thank you.